That's my cue. I'm Dr. Merkel at Take Two Health every Saturday, 11 to noon. It's great to be with you on this last Saturday in June. I am Dr. Merkel, doctor of chiropractic. I'm board certified in clinical nutrition and a couple other degrees in nutrition. I've been here in the Miami Valley for over 40 years, right here behind this marvelous WHIO microphone for over 30. It's truly an honor to be here, and our goal, our mission, our purpose is to help you be healthier, to make better decisions, to inform you of things that can really make a difference. And my practice is in Royal Swiss Village, south of Dayton, on Far Hills Avenue. Again, that's Royal Swiss Village. We've got a couple of awesome doctors that work with us. Dr. Andrew Dyer is one of our doctors. He's been with us over 20 years. Truly an amazing guy. He's board certified in clinical nutrition, and he's also board certified in acupuncture. Highly skilled, highly trained, and has just some awesome cases that I've used for lectures around the country. Actually, even in some other countries where I've lectured. I'm not going to say I'm an international lecturer, but I have lectured in a few other countries. And we also have Dr. Natalie Yaley. Dr. Natalie Yaley, that name rings a bell. She was quite a superstar athlete at Bellbrook High School, and she's been with us now for over 10 years, and she is certified in thermography, which is a safe, natural, painless, touchless breast scan. And I highly recommend that. Other countries use them a lot more than are used here in this country. But they've been around for, oh my gosh, thermography has been used for 30 to 40 years. It's been shown to be able to predict, especially breast cancer, 10 to 15 years before you get it. You don't just get, boom, breast cancer overnight. You just don't get any cancer, boom, overnight. It takes months, years to develop. You got to have the right environment. The body has to be in a certain state of health and in a state and a certain environment for cancer to grow. And one of those we are able to detect with thermography. Another one is with blood testing. So there's a lot of things you can do to avoid getting cancer, to help reduce your risk of getting cancer. And that's what we do with our testing. Most conditions, even cancer, a lot of cancers will show up in the blood long before you have symptoms. The conditions that will favor you getting cancer often will show in the blood long before you get cancer. And there's a lot of things that contribute toward cancer. It's not some mysterious thing that jumps on you. Oh, I know they say, oh, it's genetic. It's not genetic. Our genes have not changed in thousands and thousands of years. And the odds of getting cancer when I was a kid were about 1 out of 20, 1 out of 30. And now, 1 out of 2 for men, 1 out of 3 for women. Yeah, 1 out of 2 for men, 1 out of 3 for women. That's the odds of getting cancer today. So are our genes changing? No, our genes aren't changing. It's our environment that's changing. See, I got a great show for you today. And some great information. We're going to talk about Lyme disease, the tennis legends, cancer, the truth about, drugs with more negative than positive studies that won FDA approval. Pretty interesting, huh? But first, I'm going to start with cold and flu season. That's kind of over. Almost. Let's see, it's June. You wouldn't think cold and flu, but something unusual happened this week. And truly, I haven't gotten sick or anything, missed work or been laid up for years. I can't remember the last time. But this week, I got sick. I will admit, I got sick. I got a fever. I had a sore throat like I have not had in years. I had a deep cough. I mean, a deep cough that came from the lungs, not from my upper sinuses or throat. This came from deep in the lungs. And I was not very comfortable, to say the least. And I was able to stay home. I can work from home with my computer and things like that. So I stayed home a couple days. There's some people around me who have some health conditions. and I didn't want to expose them with their medical health conditions. And so I stayed home. But I had this deep cough, and I felt bad. I mean, my throat was so sore, it even hurt to yawn, open my mouth to talk. Eating was, you know, scratchy throat. And I had this cough, this deep cough. And I would cough so deeply that, I don't know if you ever coughed this hard before, it's like you were going to vomit. I mean, it's like from deep within, and you're just bringing stuff up, and feels like you're going to vomit. But you spit up this stuff, and I was spitting up stuff. And now I grew up on a farm. Let me tell you about stuff, spitting, that kind of thing. I grew up on a farm, baled hay, drove tractor in the dust. I was in grain bins where there's dust. But if you're baling hay all day, I tell you, you're going to be spitting dirt, brown crap, green crap, for, you know, usually a day or two after you have not been baling hay or been out in the dirt and the dust. And you just learn to spit because you don't want to swallow that crap back down. And so here I am coughing this deep stuff out of my lungs. And I'd spit it into a Kleenex, and it would be green. It'd be mucusy looking. It'd be nasty looking. I think, no, I don't want to swallow that stuff. I'm going to spit it out. And so I had, man, for about 3 or 4 days, I had a ton of Kleenexes with this thick, heavy mucus in it. I didn't want to swallow that. That's bad stuff. My body is trying to cough that out of my lungs. It's bad stuff. And so my body is trying to do the only way it knows to clean the lungs, and that is to cough deeply. Now, at night, I'm coughing pretty regularly. I'd have a coughing spell, you know, maybe every half hour, a deep coughing spell. And I had a brief thought, oh man, I want some sleep. Maybe I take a cough suppressant. How stupid would that be? Talk about pneumonia. If you take a cough suppressant and your body's actually trying to cough stuff up out of your lungs and get the fluid out of there, the junk out of there, and you take a cough suppressant, you're looking at pneumonia. Yeah. Yeah. And as much stuff as I was coughing up and spitting out, I have no doubt I could have gotten pneumonia pretty easy just because I wasn't clearing my lungs and getting it out. Now, also I found out, and if I lay flat on the bed, that was worse, that made everything worse. Because now my lungs are laying flat, and the mucus was covering a larger portion of the lungs. So I found out if I sat up, got a recliner, reclined back, but still sitting up, head and shoulders above my lungs, my chest, that kind of thing, that I could breathe better. Coughing wouldn't be quite as bad, but I could breathe better, and it just felt better. So I sat in my recliner for a couple of days. I remember last night that my bed has the option of where it can electronically raise the head up. Still wasn't as comfortable as a recliner, but I did it last night. Felt like I was falling off the bed. But anyway, raising the head up and the body so that the lungs weren't laying flat really helped my breathing too. I was still having deep cough. And I'm much better today. I have had some deep, deep coughs. But that is clearing my lungs out. You don't want to take a cough suppressant. Now, I was talking to my neighbor, and I kept a distance because I didn't want, you know, they're older, and I didn't want them getting sick from me. So I kept my distance, and we talked, and she thought I should have gone to the hospital. I said, no, I'm fine. You know, I was coughing. I was active. Sure, I had a fever. Big deal. That the fever is the body's way to kill viruses and even bacteria. Viruses are very heat sensitive. When your body temperature goes up and you got a fever, that's your body's way to rev itself up to fight an infection. And so I didn't want to stop that. No, I said, okay, that's my body working properly. And I was taking, make sure you get plenty of fluids, because if you're not drinking plenty of fluids, and I took some electrolytes, some minerals and things like that, My throat was so sore, I could hardly even drink anything, but I did get it down. Made sure I was drinking. I found that tea, I do like tea, so I got some matcha tea, and I put some electrolytes in that. And I was sipping on tea most of the day. And so I made my make sure you stay hydrated, but get that crap out of your body. Don't swallow it. When I was looking at the Kleenex, or even in the sink when I spit, oh, there's some nasty crap in there. And I'm thinking, why would I ever want to swallow that? No, you don't want to swallow that. You want to get rid of it out of your system. So you get sick like that, take some time, rest, get plenty of fluid, kind of stay seated. If you lay down, you're going to have more breathing problems. So kind of get a recliner or elevate the back of the bed so you can breathe easier. Keep Kleenex and stuff close by. I mean, where my lounger was in my bed, so I could just easily reach over, grab a Kleenex and spit in it and throw in the garbage. I mean, it was just that efficient, that quick, because I knew I was going to have a lot of it, and I did. So don't take cough suppressants. Is breathing more important than sleeping? And is breathing more important than sleeping? Yes. As your body gets better, you'll have time for sleep. But in the crisis situation, okay, you're not going to sleep a lot, but your body is trying to survive and clean the lungs out. Now, when I cough, it helps if I lean over. You know, I think of the lungs, think what you're trying to do. You're trying to cough, and your body's trying to get this stuff out of your lungs. So if you bend over, the cough isn't fighting gravity so much. You're able to lean over and cough, spit it out, lean over, bend over, and cough, and it will help assist your body getting rid of that junk in your lungs. Now, there are sinus problems where people get allergies, where it's an upper sinus problem, and they may have a runny nose or runny eyes. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a deep lung involvement where your lungs are affected. Your lungs are I don't know if weeping is the right word, but they are fluid is coming out of that. And as your body's fighting infection, if you look at that, there's a lot of white blood cells, pussy things coming out. And that's the way your body is trying to cleanse itself and get over that infection. Don't take a cough suppressant for that type of infection. If you have an upper level one, maybe an upper, a little tickle in the throat that's causing a problem, maybe. But I'm talking about do not take a cough suppressant for a deep lung infection where you're coughing up. If you're coughing up deep, green, nasty stuff, you don't want a cough suppressant on that. You got to get that out of your system. Give your body time, get rest, get plenty of fluids, and it will pass. Sometimes my throat was so sore, I couldn't believe how sore it was, but it recovered. Just be patient. The body is designed to heal and repair virtually anything. Yeah, I took some vitamins, took some extra vitamin C, took zinc lozenges, been shown to help any flu, cold, virus, bacteria. Yeah, I took about 5 zinc lozenges a day. I took lorazepam, and there's another product that I developed many years ago called SBNIFM, Immune Food Mushroom. Mushrooms are phenomenal for boosting the immune system. We use that product for a ton of things, for cancers, severe infections, that kind of thing. And so it's called Immune Food Mushroom. We have it at Take Two Healthcare. You can stop in and pick it up. And I was taking about 10 to 12 a day of those. There's no harm in taking the high levels of those mushrooms. And I didn't take them all at once. I took like one an hour or something like that. Get them in the system. Same with vitamin C. Zinc is critical. And zinc lozenges, you can get those at most any health food store. And if you'll take a few of those throughout the day, I think you'll bust right through your infection just like I did. Sometimes I had to take some time. Is it time for a break here, Oliver? Okay. I have to take a break here listening to Dr. Merkel. I'll take you up here. We'll be right back after this. Hello, everybody. I'm Dr. Merkel. I'm back, and it's great to be with you this Saturday, 937-433-3241. If you'd like a true natural opinion, a true second opinion with a totally different point of view, contact us. contact us. Truly, no matter what you have, if you get healthier, it'll probably be good. And if you get healthy enough, does it really matter the name of the disease? If you've listened to the show over the years, you've heard that we've helped people with lupus, MS, psoriasis, Crohn's, cancers of all kinds. It's not because we treat them. Because we understand if you get the body healthy, the name of the disease doesn't really matter. Did you get that point? The name of the disease really doesn't matter if you're healthy enough. But I was thinking about, during this break, I was hacking and coughing up some nasty looking stuff and blowing my nose, and it's all pretty disgusting. But it's out of my body. And I'm healthy because I'm getting rid of it. I think back to my mom. As she got older, she'd get sick, cold or flu, and she'd say, I didn't sleep very good last night. Ask her why, because I was coughing and hacking up and blowing my nose. Okay, well, you're breathing, you're living, you're still alive. And I think somehow that coughing stimulates the body, gets things circulating and moving rather than just sitting there. And I know as parents, you want to be a good parent. You don't want your child to suffer. And so they got a cold and they're coughing and stuff like that. And you put them to bed and they don't, and you give them drugs so they don't cough. And then they get pneumonia. And then they go to the hospital and you feel so bad for them because they got pneumonia. Well, probably the treatment that you gave them, over the counter cough medicine, didn't allow that body to expel the crap that it was trying to with the coughing. That coughing expels stuff. It also, the movement, it stimulates circulation and gets things moving again. And when you suppress that, you are suppressing the body's natural method of getting rid of stuff, of mobilizing things. You don't want to stop that. Okay, they're going to be miserable. You got to be a parent. You might have to sit up with them. Okay, would you rather sit up with them at your house or send them to the hospital? You know, be a parent. As long as they're active, you know, I remember my mom, you know, she complained, but she was bright and alert and active and everything else. She was coughing a lot, okay? Okay, no harm in there. If your kid is coughing and hacking, but they're alert and everything else, that's okay. That's okay. If they got a fever, but they're active and alert, that's okay. In Reader's Digest several years ago, they wrote an article about fevers. And there's a pediatrician said he's much more worried about a 103 fever where the child is listless and not moving versus 106 and the kids are running around the house. If the kids are running around the house, they got 106. I remember very clearly when I was a kid, I had a 106 degree temperature. And I was running around the house, you know, okay, I was... had a fever, big deal, no big deal. In fact, I remember when I was in high school playing varsity basketball, I had a fever one game. And I sat out the first half, and toward the end of the game, the coach wouldn't know if I wanted to go in. And I had a fever, but I was, you know, didn't feel bad. I just was had a fever. So, yeah, I went and played the last quarter with a fever. I had plenty of energy because I didn't play the first three quarters. And played pretty good. Everybody else is tired, but I wasn't. Okay, I had a fever. Same with your kids. If your kids have a fever, but they're running around, let them run around. It's getting the body's circulation, getting the body moving, rejuvenating itself with movement. But when you put cough suppressants in them, you're creating a problem, So I use caution with cough suppressants, especially in children and older people. Because that, especially in older people, that could be the most, hate to say this, most activity or energizing thing that they're doing during the day is deep coughing. And if it's probably not harmful, they need to cough, get that moving. So I do remember my mom coughing. She said she didn't sleep very much. And I'm thinking, okay, but you're alive and well. And again, is breathing more important than coughing? So anyway, is it time for another break? Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about a drug that got approved with more negative than positive studies. I'm Dr. Merkel. We'll be right back after this. I am Dr. Merkel, Take Two Healthcare. Great to be with you today. 937-433-3241. If you would like us to help you or give you a second opinion, or just to check the score. Yeah, it's soccer season right now. Big tournament going on, a world tournament there. And you want to check the score, don't you? Don't you want to check the score with your life, your body, your health? Yeah, that's what I do. About every 8 months, I check the score. And I do a comprehensive blood test. It checks for cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, chemical toxins, heavy metal toxins. I do a thorough evaluation because the earlier you find a problem, always the better result you will have. The earlier you find a problem, always the better result you'll have, and the less damage will be done. So if you catch it early enough, just a couple little tweaks here and there, a little vitamin here, a little change there, and poof, things improve. And we've done this with many people over the years. You see a cancer marker creeping up, oh, tweak the diet, change something a little bit, and the cancer marker goes back down. Or the liver enzymes or the kidney values are going up, and then we tweak things a little bit and they go back down, which means you have avoided or at least greatly delayed serious problems. Truly, most conditions will show in the blood long before you have symptoms. Let me tell you, do you remember how much liver function and kidney function can you have left and have no symptoms? You remember out there? 20%. 20% liver function, 20% kidney function, and all you need is 10% pancreatic function and have no sign of diabetes, which by the time you have it, boom. By the time you have a problem, you're waiting on dialysis. You're waiting on a liver transplant. You're waiting on a lung transplant. You're waiting on, you're boom, just like that, you're type 1 diabetic. Because if you wait on symptoms, you are not finding it till end stage. The condition of the body is more important than the name of the disease, and how you feel is no indication of how healthy you are. Let me say that again. How you feel is no indication of how healthy you are. I don't care if you can run a marathon. I don't care if you can lift a lot of weights. It's no indication of how healthy you are. It just means you can run a long way. Doesn't mean you don't have kidney disease. Just you can lift a lot of weights doesn't mean you don't have cancer. That's why we do blood testing. Because how you feel is irrelevant until end stage. Okay. The headline came out. MedPage. A drug approved. A drug with more negative than positive studies won FDA approval. Let me say that again. A drug with more negative than positive studies won FDA approval. Okay. Now, what do you think the ratio was? Like maybe 10 positive studies and 11 negative studies, or 10 positive studies and 12 negative studies? What do you think? What was the ratio of good to bad? And, well, let me go in here to the actual thing. Let's see. Oh, here it is. Now, the drug in comment here. And by the way, this is the first time I've reported something like this. Several times over the last many years, this same situation has occurred. Not exactly this way, but where there's been more negative studies. Negative studies were ignored, but there's more negative than positive studies here. Okay, here it is. This is for EXXUA. And let's see. The agency approved the drug on the basis of two trials that showed a small benefit, disregarding 11 other studies that showed the drug was no better than placebo. 11 that showed a small benefit, disregarding 11 that showed a placebo was just as effective. Means there's no benefit. And this drug had been trying to get FDA approval for many years. And so in MedPage, and I'm quoting, product labeling should transparently report on all adequate and well-controlled trials relating to the FDA approval rejection, not just those with positive outcomes, so that clinicians can make better informed prescribing decisions, the researchers noted. You think? But who's running the FDA? Who is sponsoring the FDA? Where's the FDA getting a lot of its money from? Drug companies. So is there an incentive for the FDA to get drugs approved so that money keeps going in, if pockets get lined, it's about the money. It's not about the truth. It's about the money. So actually, there's only one comment in the comment section. There's a doctor wrote in the comment section, so what do we do to correct this situation? I, like others, I'm sure, thought I could depend on the FDA's opinion to keep us safe, or at the very least include all the information we need on package inserts. First of all, who reads package inserts? Maybe the doctors, probably not, because the doctors are only getting what the drug rep tells them. So if you expect the FDA to provide all the information, the relevant information, you would be wrong. You would be wrong. They ignored 11 studies. So 2 versus 11. 2 positive, had small benefit. 11 showed it wasn't better than placebo. And I do remember that there have been other cases like this where there will be maybe 8 positive studies, 10 negative, and they'll only report 3 of the negative. You see, if you're a researcher, you're a writer, how do you make money? You don't make money by doing negative reviews of drugs. Nobody's going to pay you to keep writing negative reviews. You get paid to provide positive reviews and positive benefits of the drug. If there's negative benefits, you're not going to keep a job very long. You're not going to keep a job very long. They only want you if you're going to promote their business. Years ago, when I was in chiropractic practice, I had a nice business, but there was an insurance company wanted me to do insurance reviews. And I said, okay, because I know some doctors who are doing insurance reviews, and all they did was cut the everybody, regardless of the patient, they got everything cut like 30 to 50%. And so when I did mine, I truly spent time, looked at all the information, read all the reports, all the exams, you know, all everything that was done, and I gave what I thought was a truthful evaluation. That wasn't what the insurance company wanted. They wanted me to cut everybody's bill, everybody's fee, and I didn't do it. I thought, no, this is the right way. Well, here with these research, when a research company, researchers, is going to do a review of a new drug, a new product, new medical device, what's going to keep them in business? Writing negative reviews? No, they're not going to come back to them. If you don't write positive reviews, they're not going to come back to you. How much is going out there? Now, this reminds me of something else. Does it remind you guys of anything else? How about Pfizer and COVID vaccine? Let me just remind everybody, this was from Pfizer's own study. Pfizer's own study. Pfizer's own results that were hidden. But the COVID vaccine, there was a 279% spike in miscarriages after the COVID vaccine. And all these things are after the COVID vaccine. 487% spike in breast cancer, 1,400% spike in a nervous system, 155% spike in birth defects, 350% spike in male infertility, 369% spike in testicular cancer, 2,181 spike in hypertension, 664 spike in malignant neoplasms, cancer, 680% spike in multiple sclerosis, and it goes on and on. I mean, it is just 471% spike in female infertility, and these were known by Pfizer. These were in Pfizer's own records. But would that promote the people taking a COVID vaccine if that was out? No, so that was all hidden. It didn't come out until the COVID phase is over with. No, that would not have benefited the political and all the politicians who had an agenda at that time. They didn't want that out, and that's why it was buried and hidden. It didn't come out until a few years later, like now. But that is horrendous. Myocardial infarction, 269% spike. Female infertility, 471% spike. Migraines, 452% spike. And how many people are having residual problems with this now that was initiated by the COVID vaccine? Never would have been a problem without the COVID vaccine. Well, because the FDA and our politicians and the drug companies don't want the truth out. What's it about? Fortunately, it's about the money. And in that, so sad on so many things, follow the money. Yeah, very sad. Very sad. But that is what's happening right now. And if you want, and that's why we have shows like this one where we share with you the truth. We share with you the facts, what's happening, what's truly going on. You know, I don't have a dog in a fight on whether you take a flu shot or not. I've never taken one. My mom died at 92. She never took one. She never took the pneumonia shot, the COVID shot, the shingles shot, never took any of those shots. I haven't taken any of those either. I believe the body, if you stay healthy, you're in good shape. And one of the things with my mom being in such good shape, okay, now my mom was not in good shape. She was obese, but she never took any drugs. Her brain was great. Her cholesterol was okay. Blood pressure was about 140 over 90 for the last few years. Doctors wanted to be on drugs. And I told her if you put her on drugs, her brain's not going to work. They will develop into dementia if you give her drugs to lower her blood pressure. And so she did just fine until 92 years of age, and she just didn't wake up one day. That's a good way to go, isn't it? A good way to go, just not to wake up? Yeah, that's what I want. You know, I don't want to be drooling in bed somewhere or slowly rotting away, waiting to die, just not wake up. I think that's a pretty good way to do it. And that's where, again, if my mom hadn't been so obese, she'd probably still be alive today. She'd be like, I don't know, 95 or 96. But was her brain in good shape? Well, let me tell you, the day before she died, she talked to her best friend on the phone for over an hour. Yeah, I'd say her brain was pretty good. And she never had a problem with that. It was just she let her body get overweight. And overweight is the single most significant weight problem you can have. And there's over 200 medical conditions associated tied to obesity. Yeah, 200. So if you want to reduce your risk of virtually 200 diseases, get to your ideal weight and maintain it. Get your ideal weight and maintain it. Now, I'm not a fan of these drugs, the GLP-1s. The idea is to make you nauseous, vomiting. You feel crappy, so you don't feel like eating. All right, I get it. But the problem is when you stop that drug, you're ravenous, and people tend to eat more and gain more weight after that, which is why the medical profession wants these GLP-1 drugs to be like blood pressure drugs. You're on them for life. Blood pressure drugs, diabetic drugs, cholesterol drugs, they want you on them for life. So here's another one, the GLP-1. And Medicare, I think they're trying to get Medicare to cover it. More expense, more money again. How sad is that? Instead of people taking responsibility, they just want to take a pill. Yeah, they just want to take a pill. Oh, that reminds me what was that? I'm going to have to think on that. There's something else here. I have to come back to it when my brain functions again. Is it time for a break? Okay, we got to take a break here, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Merkel at Take 12 Care. We'll be right back after this. And I'm back. I'm Dr. Merkel at Take 12 Care. Every Saturday, 11 to noon, it's great to be with you. If you'd like help with your problems, whatever they are, health problems, 937-433-3241. You can also go to take2healthcare.com, take2healthcare.com. I've got a few minutes here, and I've been watching the TV, the games, and also it's been fascinating to watch the response of people around the world to what life is like in America, in the U.S. They're amazed by our stores, our restaurants, how clean the cities are. One fellow was saying he was in a city park, and there were women just walking by themselves, running by themselves. They couldn't believe that it was even safe like that for a woman to be by herself, because the country they came from, it wasn't. They were amazed how the park benches were nice and taken care of. He said, he implied that in his country, the park benches are taken over by people, drug addicts. They're wrecked. They're destroyed. And here things are kept up. They're nice. You know, we take things so much for granted. How many of those people would love to trade places with you? You know, there's so many people complain about things here in our country. Oh, I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't like that politician. But think of the good things we have in this country. The good things that truly are here and that we have that no one else has. The blessings, the freedoms we have like nowhere else in the world. The freedom. And I think that is the main thing that people want to take away is our freedoms. When you look at other countries, even supposedly, you know, European countries, they don't have the freedoms we do. They don't have the freedom to go out by yourself. Because of other things that are in the community, it's not safe for them to be out by themselves. And we tend to ignore that because it's not affecting us yet. But if we allowed our country to go that route, we would be in problem. We need to have discipline. And just like we need to discipline our body, we need to discipline our habits and things like that to have a healthy body. We need that discipline in our community, our country. We have to have people who obey laws and who enjoy our way of life. If you don't like the way of life we have, the way we like to do things, well, don't come to the United States. It's that simple. We enjoy being able to do things for women to be free, to be able to go out and exercise and feel safe, for children to be safe, to be able to go out and do things, and for us as people to be able to choose what we want to do. If you choose to be unhealthy, you can. But in other countries, they don't have a lifeline of Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid to fill in what you have chosen to ignore. True, many countries don't have Social Security, Medicare. They expect their family, their children, to provide for them and take care of them as they get older. Well, by having the government do it, it allows us to be lazy. And if you enjoy the freedoms that you have, you better start doing things that show your appreciation and support those things that you truly appreciate. But I'd like to tell you, just quit complaining. We have the best country of anywhere in the world by far, and it's so truly gratifying to hear people from other countries be blown away by what we take for granted. Wow. I'd say if you get a chance, you need to go overseas and see what things are like. Truly, take a trip over to any country and see what life is like in other countries. Why are people wanting to get in the United States? Because of what we have. And if we don't protect it, there's going to be problems too. So I hope that gives you my idea about some things that we can do. But the most important thing you can do for anybody is take care of your health. The most important thing you can do for your spouse, your country, your kids, your parents is to not be dependent on them. Stay healthy. So do something today to be healthier than you were yesterday. Take a walk, call a friend, pray for our country, and by the way, go to church tomorrow. I'm Dr. Merkel.